Hello, Big Black Clockers.
Hello. How are you?
Hello, Big Black Clockers. And for the new listeners, welcome to the Big Black Fun. I am your host this week. I'm Kevin, and I'm joined by Carl. How are you doing this week?
Good. New intro. I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And we're joined by, And we're joined by Dima. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Good, good, good.
This week's subject revolves around what watches say about you. And we'll talk a little bit of how we got to that subject. But obviously, Carl's going to take a different spin on it because he didn't prepare properly.
Or at all.
Which forklift is the best one to drive through Home Depot? If you're buying 515 8x4s. 2x4s.
I'd actually be interested because I'm like, how many forklifts are there?
There's probably a lot because there's a meme account on Instagram that I was seeing. They always post links like, hey, this is a forklift, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And that a person actually got their license. Like, yeah, don't forget that this person got a class, blah, blah, blah.
Like, there's a whole world there of forklift enthusiasts.
Would you be surprised? I have two forklift story.
They're
really short. Yes, they're really short.
Go ahead, please.
Cool,
do.
Cool, cool. The first one, I at one point I got a job driving a forklift without having the license for a summer, like a summer job.
You know what? You know what? Everyone can get. Everyone gets like, oh, I drove something without a license. Like that's like me with everything but a car. Right.
Yeah, but
you got a job.
You need a license for
like a summer
forklift?
Job of driving. Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
there's a license.
You
for
do.
So, like for the forklift, like do you get a regular license at SAEQ? SAEQ is our governing agency.
No. It's a course. So it's like a weekend course. It's like 12
weekend?
Hours.
Weekend.
It's like 12 hours. Like 2 days.
I feel like you need more time to learn.
He went for a weekend. Safe. To 12 hours driver. To 2 days. You well, keep no, reducing it.
But no, like 12 hours is 2 days of 6 hours.
What?
2 days of 6 hours?
Oh, that's what you mean. Oh, that's 12 hours over 2 days. Okay.
2 days.
12 hours, 2 days.
2 days.
It's a fortnight
shift. But after lunch break, of course. Reduce the smoke breaks and then travel time. It's like
minutes.
40 minutes.
40 minutes. But like yeah.
Yeah, just to learn how to operate weekends. It.
You got
to
let the forklift like warm up before you can use it. So all in all, you're on that thing for about
well,
6 minutes.
Well, in the winter, it's particularly important to make sure that it's warm before
so
you start it.
That was story one. Yeah. And second story is this week, I got approached by a forklift selling company for a position with them.
You can just sell forklifts?
No. It's like, I don't know anything about that. But
you probably could learn it like immediately.
No, for sure.
I'm pretty sure.
It's like just the same technical like things that I use with cars, which you add hydraulics.
I was about to say, it has to probably do everything having to do with like the hydraulics to lift shit. Mm-hmm. And then I imagine the like fastening all that stuff, like how much weight it can actually hold and like the distribution. I'm sure there's I don't know anything.
What about like the music player that is air conditioning and the forklift? Do they have those kind of things? I mean,
the music player with air conditioning?
No,
in the forklift. I heard that as well.
Oh, the music player in the forklift.
Yeah, and air conditioning. Like imagine the it's like a 12-hour work shift, right?
Yeah, but
then you have to like
I don't know
if long ever, haul. I don't know 2x4s.
I don't know if you ever saw that those forklift we have here in the old port. Like the huge one that can take like containers.
Yes.
They're big like a truck, yes. Right?
Those are the ones that railroad companies own.
Man, those hydraulics. Like,
they are intense.
I don't know if it's because I like the lack of faith, but I've seen like cranes that like lock themselves.
Fate.
Yeah, but they start picking up these things and then you hear it go clock, 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 right? And they're like picking up like huge things to put on the top
tons
of the building.
And tons, right?
And I'm like, if that motherfucker drops. And it happened because I'm finishing renovations in my house for listeners out there. And then what they do is that when they're doing the renovations, they'll put this container, garbage container into your parking lot here, right? And then they fill it with all this stuff. And then this truck comes and literally pulls it up, rolls it on the back of this truck, and you're hearing it pull with hydraulics on this rope. And I asked him, I go, does that, out of curiosity, I'm like, has that ever fallen off? It was, oh yeah. Because we probably get about maybe, and he said it, about a dozen a year in the province, right? And say consider a state or whatever you guys want to think, listeners out there. But I'm like, the amount of damage this thing must do if it falls off a truck is crazy. Anyway, so I don't like
it. So that was a new forklift segment.
Be careful of forklifts, everybody. They could be potentially very dangerous.
They're discriminatory. They have, you know, prejudices. I'm no thanks.
They're not very smart in particular either.
So before we jump in the subject of what watches say about you, let's do a quick wrist check. What are you wearing there, Dimitri?
I'm wearing my imagine the new reveal. I put my Speedy on a NATO strap that came with it. I don't think you guys have seen it yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
I've never seen your Speedy, yes.
I really love it. So the Speedmaster that I own came with the Omega black NATO strap. I think I already put some pictures on Instagram. It's awesome. It's super comfortable, and I think it really complements the way that the watch itself looks.
That strap looked like so new.
What it is. It is.
It's like, it's shiny. There's not a scratch on it. There's like a little piece of like tissue like out of it.
When I put it on, like I had to peel off all the stickers still. Yeah. Like I still had all the stickers. It's just that it is brand new. The other thing I was going to say is that I'm wearing this watch only because I wanted to show it to you guys because the new Seiko never came off my wrist in like a week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh,
It's a good watch. It was a good purchase.
Yeah, I think we should do our next episode. We should do like a comparison between the Seiko and like my new Oris, like we were talking about, right? Maybe we can do that.
That could be
episode.
A good idea.
That's nice. What are you wearing, Carl?
Same as last week. And like last week, I got overshadowed by like new watches. So I was like,
he really did. I was like, what?
So like take two. I'm wearing my Rolex Air King, the latest version of the Air King. So it's with all the fives, but the reference number is not all the fives. It's 1, 5, 6, 900.
Come on, man.
I'm going to look it up. I always do for
cool, perfect.
Rolex Air King.
You know what's cool is I know I can...
You know it automatically comes up right away now?
The 1, 1, 6, 900.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
It doesn't even like appear. It just appears in my Siri suggested website there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I'll look into buying Everest rubber bands for my Air King for this summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'll like confirm that I can appreciate it with my Tudor because the Tudor came with the rubber bands on it, my Pelagos.
Okay.
Man, you should put on that. That would really, I think it was sported up a little bit from the titanium.
Yes.
I think it's going to be really.
What kind of a color is that brand?
It's the same blue.
Oh, wow.
It's like a matte blue, too.
And there's even the extension for the scuba suit.
Scuba.
Ruben, you want some scuba? So you're just going to, so we should buy you like a scuba top so you could just like wear that around town and say, look at my strap. And people are like, why do we see half your belly hanging out? Why is your scuba suit a crop top?
you also have to wear
look
the
at this midriff.
Why exactly. Are you naked? It's not just the sweater.
No. You don't wear the bottoms. You're just wearing a Speedo. You're wearing a crop top, scuba top. Your legs? It's like, no, just the top.
Guys, I'm more aerodynamic like this. I know what I'm doing.
Do you see a watch on my fucking legs? That's what I'm wearing.
I'm going to Winnie the Pooh this shit. just a crop top.
Look at this midriff right here.
Winnie the Pooh, yeah. Befriend like a little piglet and just walk around with a small pig everywhere. Super naked. Just carrying a jar of honey. This is a very disturbing image.
Hey, it's Winnie the Pooh. It's like, that's what you see?
He escaped the mental asylum. He's not. This is not Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, that's great.
And you, Kevin, what are you wearing this week?
I am wearing a Seiko limited edition, the SARX 069. It is limited to 1,964 pieces. The reason it's limited to that is that it's a homage or a reissue of the original Crown chronograph that was developed for the 1964 Tokyo Summer Olympics that was held in Japan, where Seiko had sponsored it. Yeah, so they created that. So this is an homage to it. I love it. It's a friction bezel, 100 meters water resistance. It's not made as a diver. It's made as a timer. It was a single mono pusher chronograph. They didn't come out with the chronograph itself. They thought it'd be too thick. They had the mono pusher chronograph. They created a proper chronograph last year. There was a automatic chronograph. Little thick, it was expensive too, but I wanted to get something that was more in the homage. And I put this on a Gekoda mesh strap. A lot of fun, very nice watch.
Is this new?
Not that new, no.
Well, it's recent, right?
2020.
I feel like I've seen it before, but I don't know. Maybe 2020. Maybe the strap kind of makes it look different.
Seiko was really not good for like Olympics years and watches. This one's like 60 years like too late. And like they did it like for the last Olympic, it didn't happen as well. Get a watch out. It's like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And what was the original strap on this watch?
It was a Oyster bracelet they normally have.
Okay.
Not great, obviously, to me. Took it right off. But this one is good. It has the same movement as your Seiko. 62 Maz there. The
Yeah, 6R35.
6R35. It's a 41.3 millimeter, 11.3 millimeter thick, so it's very, very thin. 70 hour power reserve. Nice limited, 1964 pieces. Very flat, vintage feel. And yeah, and I like the friction bezel. There's no click. It's all friction. It's cool.
Very unique.
Yeah, I was using it just yesterday. I've put in new grass, as you can see. So I have to water it all the time, right? So I have to be like, okay, an hour's done. I got to move the sprinkler everywhere. But yeah, been a lot of fun. Really, really happy with this one. So that concludes our wrist check. So how are you guys doing? COVID is seeing me
in me now. COVID is in me now.
Yeah, yeah, you just got vaccinated.
Yes.
But we're now finally... we're finally getting to the end of this, right?
Last stretch. The summer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, as per government, things should be back to somewhat of a normal in like September, October.
Yeah.
Right?
Should be. You guys got to get ready for summer. You got some Adidas tracksuits to buy and stuff? No,
I already have.
Yeah.
It's out for delivery.
Yeah. So let's talk about the news. And... I guess we haven't done much of this, but let's talk about this new Tudor Black Bay ceramic. So another Black Bay, Tudor announced this past month, and it was pretty kind of went under the radar a little bit. We had noticed that Yamaha had signed and released a new Marine Nationale, but Tudor had just signed with the Marine Nationale, which is the French Navy. And there was a lot of conjecture, co-branding. I'd seen renderings online of a Black Bay 58 that had like the Marine Nationale logo with like a green paracord, the Black Bay 50, the blue one.
I hope that they do a Tudor Submariner.
And that was the other one. They're saying, yeah, well, they should come out with a Tudor Submariner. This is it. This is the note. So, but they didn't. Maybe they will, but they did it right now.
Because fuck you. That's why.
Because,
But it is interesting, just in general, like that, if they come up with that, they know exactly that that will be a jackpot, right? Maybe they just don't want to take it away from the regular Submariner because they will steal those customers potentially from the Submariner customers, right?
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah, especially if they do like a 40 millimeter version.
Right, yeah.
Because now the sub is 41, right? So
instead of making the Tudor Submariner, I would say maybe Rolex should just up their production of regular Submariners.
And then everyone's happy.
Everyone would be happy the same way, yeah?
Everyone's happy.
Yep.
So right now, what have they released? They released another Black Bay, full black ceramic model.
And it's proper black.
Proper black, yeah.
Like this podcast.
Yep. Exactly. Materials, so this is the third Black Bay that they released this year that's all about the materials that they're using. So we had the all gold one at Watches and Wonders that Carl was very fond of. We have the silver. I know you hated it.
What?
The silver bullet. The gold, the silver bullet. And
the,
now
the
they
ghost
went,
one, right?
No, yeah. The silver bullet. And now they went with the
Nicolas Cage one, the Ghost Rider.
Any watch with Nicolas Cage would be great.
Yeah.
It's high praise. High praise. How am I not in this movie?
It has all the classic elements of a Nick Cage movie. It's got actors in it.
Free lunches. Anyway, so that we went gold, silver, and black ceramic. No bronze, black ceramic.
Yeah.
This watch, there wasn't a release done in 2019 that was an all black version, but it was like a DLC. I don't know if it was ceramic, maybe. Anyway, but it was a little bit different. It was all black. All black, even the writing was black. In this case, it changed a little bit. You have a sunburst, and it's gray on the dial, not black, not white in terms of the writing. And this ceramic case is awesome. So let's talk a little bit quickly about this watch. I want to know what you guys think. But before we jump in, let's just see. Look, the average daily precision of a METES certified watch should vary between 0 and 5 seconds a day. And before and after exposure to magnetic fields greater than 15,000 Gauss. I took this right away from online, directly from there, a quote. And so far, only Omega has achieved this METES certification until now. So, what do you guys think about this watch? Dimitri, how about we start with you?
Well, so as I understand, this is the first Black Bay that they made that's a METES certified, right? So it's the more precise one.
Correct.
It has more. Is it more anti-magnetic than your Milgauss?
Probably.
I think so. Yeah.
That's crazy. Listen, it's a Black Bay. I am not necessarily sold on the all black look. I do like the fact that they have an open case and they have a nice decorated movement in the back. But apart from that, this is kind of like the gold watch for me. just another Black Bay that's a bit more unique, more specific to, will have some fans, but I don't think that people will be very indifferent to it. So it's probably going to be kind of like people love it and people hate it. Not a big fan though of the gilt, or like a faux patina, sorry, of the faux patina markings.
The gray, yeah.
They kind of look like it's a bit faux patina, mm-hmm. not like full gray, like a little beige also.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. I mean, it's awesome that it's Metas. I'm hoping to see more and more Meta certified watches from Tudor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's it. That's
what do you think, Kerr, about this watch?
It's black. No, so the black bay.
Yeah, Black Bay Square.
BB squared. Did they have to say black?
They don't even call it the black bay. They call it the black.
Although
bay
they
ceramic.
Cancel each other out, it's just bay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the bay.
Tudor bay.
Tudor bay.
So it's a BBB. I like that they're getting a better movement. They're going forward with the technology in it, but the like full black design for me doesn't do anything. A bit like the full gold. The full gold, the big reason for me that made no sense was the pricing for a Tudor. On this one, when I saw the pictures first, only thing that popped into my mind was that small brand like Undone.
Undone?
Undone.
Yeah, yeah.
They do
yeah.
like crazy like watches, like really like tick colors, like all the different sizing and the different sponsors and all those things. I don't know why that's the first thing that came to me when I was looking at that watch. So yeah, I just hope that they put that movement or that certification in like their future like black base, right? Like you're gonna do a revamp of like the, let's say, base model and stuff like that. Just go forward, right? Always bring your lowest product to the higher standards. So like as a brand, you go forward. So that's the only thing really for that watch. Like I'm happy to see the new movement, but design, let's say, it's not really enough for me. And there's no reason beside design for a color scheme like this. There's no utility for it, right? So it's really, as Dima was saying, you love it, you hate it. Like sometimes you can justify some designs because if it's useful, right? Like my Pelagos, I like it because it's blue, but the reason I chose that blue, it's the last light wavelength that you can see at some depth, right? That's why they put it that blue on it. So you can justify that color. Like if you don't love that blue. I love that blue for that watch, but I don't like that black and there's no reason behind it. So,
well, yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for me, it's a no, but like I said, for people out there, like, nice movement, nice certification, and I just hope that just put that on the other black base. Like the, let's mm-hmm. say, 2022 new range, or if they do a revamp of the base model, go with that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So yeah, the Black Bay series went through a number of movements. You started with the ETAs, which are now coveted, and then they went to the M-House caliber. This one, I think the movement in this one is incredible. It moved away from the chronometer certified in-house movements, and this is an in-house Meta certified movement. They didn't need to go that route. I think it's great. I don't like that they wrote Black Bay on the dial. I think it's everyone knows it's a Black Bay. I wish they had put maybe the depth rating instead. you're right. I agree with you guys. And you, what you just said, Carl, it's not made for functionality. That bezel doesn't tell you the timing if you're diving with it. But
you can't see shit.
Wait, there's a bezel? The exactly. And I don't think that this watch was made for that. I think this watch, where I think it's a win, and this is where I disagree a little bit, is bang for buck. If you look at competitors out there that are making full ceramic watches, for example, the Omega Speedmaster Dark Side of the Moon, you have, for example, multiple ceramic case divers out there, you're going to be paying even the Planet Ocean. The Omega Seamaster is twice the price because it's a ceramic case. Working with ceramic is very difficult, like your titanium watch, right?
Yeah.
Like Grand Seiko's when they polish titanium as well. Working with ceramic is not an easy thing to do. So others don't like, for example, DLC coated black watches because if they're done poorly, they scratch, it comes off, you're done. You can't change that. You can't do another finish to that. This mm-hmm. is black ceramic. This will always stay black and it'll always stay, you know, clean that route. You're not going to get scratches that take it off. Kind of like gold plating versus gold, solid gold or gold filled.
Mm-hmm.
I like the movement on this one too. They went with the movement is blacked out. I think that was really a nice touch compared to the BB58, but this is not the same movement, right? This is not the Black Bay 58 line. This is the Black Bay 41, right? But I think at the price of $5,400 and half the price of anything out there with the movement of Meta's ceramic watch, I don't think anything can top it. If anyone's looking for, if you want a ceramic watch, this is the one to go to. And this is obviously made for very specific people who know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's excellent. To me, it's a real win. I'm very, very happy with this release. And they didn't come up with another 58. And for me, it's a real win. Yeah, very, very nice.
And the manufacturer movement there. So before, they, like you said, they used to use ETA movements and then they would kind of modify them heavily.
Yeah.
Now that is, are they still using something as a base movement from
ETA?
It's
a Breitling. It's a B01 Breitling that they, not the B01, the B01 is a chronograph, but they took in Breitling movements and then they modified it, adding jewels and certain things to it to make it their in-house. That's their partnership with them. Yeah. Kinesi. Is a manufacturer of movements. So there's a certain brands that are with them, Chanel. And there's another brand that was opened by a hockey player named Norkang.
Tim Horton.
No. Norkang.
I mean, I got the hockey player part right.
Straight, Mark Straight, that hockey player.
Yeah, he, Mark Straight. Yeah, he was a hockey player.
Yeah, so Mark.
He has a watch company?
Yeah, he opened a watch company called Norkang. They were sold by Hodinkee. And hold on.
I think they have like
Mark Straight, yeah.
Hockey team.
No, they're affiliated with the National Hockey League Players Association.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was Mark Straight. Mark Straight, exactly. A board member, exactly. And the guy who ran Breitling for many years is now running Norkang. So they also have the movements from Breitling as well. So there's a huge Breitling feel to these watches. Very affordable, in-house, COSC movements. And with from a Kinesi watch manufacturer, which has Tudor and Breitling as well. So, yeah. But as you were saying, Dimitri, yeah, you were talking about, the movements themselves, how they evolved.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, that was it. Okay. You're saying they evolved. Yeah, because they went from ETAs. And your Pelagos, for example.
Yes.
The value or the demand for those that are ETA movements have gone up. Because a lot of people don't want the in-house movement like yours because they go, I just want to service it cheap. I bought it to dive. I didn't buy it for the in-house movement that makes it twice the price of service, right?
Yeah. Well, who's diving with those watches?
The Pelagos, I think there's more than you think.
Maybe. I spoke with a bunch of divers and all of them were like, what? Then we have like...
How many divers did you speak with?
Because was it one guy in House of Mirrors?
Because the sample size has to be at least 30 divers, right? As we were teaching, taught in school. Exactly. To make an assumption about the population.
Okay, no, it was five.
Five. It's probably not enough. Probably have to ask 25 more divers. Where do you find divers?
Yeah, I was like, about to say.
There's a Kijiji questions.
Like, you just go hang out by the docks and go, hey, are you a diver? Can I talk to you? He's like, get away from me. Come here.
I work at a fish store here. What are you talking about? I'm not a diver.
When I was working for Mercedes-Benz, one of the technicians over there was like enthusiast diver on the weekends.
Yeah.
And when we're going to races, he was bringing like all his friends or divers too. So.
And you asked them about what they wear?
Yeah.
And what do they wear? Mostly G-Shocks, I imagine? Or nothing?
No, like specific diving equipment. Like it's like a huge display.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's like $200.
Yeah, because it's like they attach
now. It's like this big, it's red.
Right? They have gauges that tell them everything, right?
Yeah. So they told me they didn't know anyone who was wearing
a watch,
like a diving watch. And those guys like are pretty intense. Like they take their vacation to go do diving adventures, right?
Where do they go diving? Is it somewhere in Montreal?
In Quebec, there's a bunch of places. You can go like old quarries that have been filled up and stuff like that.
Okay.
But like before the pandemic, they went to like, I think it was like the Bahamas for like a month just to dive.
That's nice.
Good. That's wow.
Yep. like I said, it's like people who buy like Ferraris. None of them go to the racetrack. None of them. And they're all race cars, right?
Well, yeah. Good point. And yeah, you clearly are not a diver.
But if you really want to dive, you can.
Yes, you can.
It's there. You know, you can do it. Yeah. The most diving it ever does was
some splashes from washing dishes.
Exactly.
The functionality is there, yeah. All right, so let's get into the main subject. And I think that it came from something that we saw in the news and we wanted to talk about there real quickly. So what we read was a program. We read it a couple weeks back and it's been in the news here. So Fears Watches. So if you haven't listened to our podcast, in episode, I don't remember, what episode was it that I presented it there? I think it was
Michael
called...
Rens.
Nope.
Fears Watches was...
it was Watches Were Crushing On. Hold on.
Yeah, I think it was like one
ran
of the...
Ran really into episode 4. So if you get to episode 4, you'll see, a while back, I talked about Fears Watches in general and what they bring. And in Fears Watches, they have an offer here. The service from Fears... it's a new service, and they were talking about, and I think it came out of the pandemic. People are obviously going to be getting back into the job market or changing jobs or looking at this. So he was, the owner, Nicholas Bowman-Scargill, is offering a new service where he talks about how first impressions counts. especially when interviewed for a new job. So he believes that a classic elegant watch conveys reliability, punctuality, even when briefly glimpsed on a Zoom call. So what he's offering is a new program where if you live in the United Kingdom, he's starting really just in the United Kingdom, and have a job interview, they'll lend you a Fears Redcliffe. So the Redcliffe is one of their other, it's not the Brunswick, which is the real one, it's the one that they're really promoting quite hard, but I think the Redcliffe is a little bit more on the affordable side. So they'll lend you a Fears Redcliffe watch for a week for free, and you just contact them. You give them the when your date is of the job interview, home address, name, normal standard strap size, and then they send it.
And it's available for people in the UK that are going for the job interview, right?
Yeah. So off the bat, what do you guys think of this program?
It's a cool idea. So obviously, it's a huge marketing move by them, and it works, right? Because it's on the news, and the watch community is talking about it for sure. It's a good idea. It's kind of a win-win for them because it's an excellent PR move, but at the same time, they're helping people to go on job interviews. So how much you actually need to have a watch for a job interview, especially nowadays that you're probably doing it remotely, is, you know, up but, to be discussed there. But
I feel like it's cool like a road test, right? It's like you can go to a dealership and road test a car, and some dealerships are going to give you like a 24-hour road test. Right. Leave the car. Go do your groceries. Go home with it. Right. Come back tomorrow after work.
And what's the road test trying to bring here in this for watches? Like I know you try the car on a road test. Here you're trying the watch.
This
right?
is also not a new watch, right? Like this has been around in their
collection.
Collection right. for a while.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, I feel like it's a to like PR move, so people like even more their brand, right? If you know them and you're maybe on the fence to purchase a watch, you have an interview, you can contact them, they'll send you a watch, you have it for a week, you can try it out for yourself, have it for an interview, give you that confident boost at some level too.
Right, and that's we'll talk about that in a minute, yeah.
And when you get your first paycheck...
maybe you buy a Fears right? watch, right?
So there's a lot of stuff like that, right? In the like free and sampling stuff in the world, it's to get that customer when they have the money to come see you first. You create that bond even before them having being able to purchase your product.
Right, and they think that wearing a watch will help you in the interview, right?
Or maybe if you actually get the job while wearing that watch will be associated with some very happy moment in your life.
There you
and
go.
Then you're like, hey, I need to have a Fears watch in my collection because...
A British watch
yeah.
from a British, you know, from the job that I got. You're from Britain. It does play on though a little bit.
What do you think? Like in general, is it mostly PR or is it they really are actually trying to you be know, altruistic?
And I'm going to be a little... obviously, there's PR behind it. But I'm going to be a little bit... not soft, but a little bit sweet on Fears itself. So the manager director, Nicholas Bowman Scargill, if you ever hear him discuss, he took over, it's a family-owned company. His whole idea is, he gives out tips about like dress smartly, clean shoes, well-groomed, smile, you know. He's just saying that maybe this watch can bring you some confidence, right? A classic elegant watch can give you characteristic traits like, you know, he's reliable, punctual maybe, or she, sorry.
Or them.
and there have been studies that show, and this is what he was saying, was there's studies that show that those who wear watches are normally more punctual. And Fear says that it shows one takes a little more care of things. That's how they put it together. And they say you're a little bit more put together. So to that point, I think it means a lot. If a friend of mine asked me to borrow a watch for a job interview or even a special occasion,
I would say no, right?
I would, that depends who, yeah.
I'll slap him right across the face just for asking.
Stupid question is that.
Why are you in my house at midnight? What is going on?
Depends on the cold. Person, but I
you
would.
Could just cold, yeah.
Exactly. I'd be like, yeah, here, go for it, you know?
I have my job interview at McDonald's. I need your panery right now.
Exactly. So I think for Fears, this is good because I think it'll get people potentially into watches, potentially into their watches, right? Helps folks get jobs, not because of the watch though. I don't think the watch will get you the job, but maybe it'll make you feel more confident and this might come off that way, mm-hmm. that confidence in the job interview might make you feel a little bit better. And you know, let me maybe take another course because we've seen this before, but maybe not with watches. You've seen it with people when they dress people up, they go, let me...
I see the opposite.
Quite often.
Quite often. No, but you've seen where someone goes, there's been companies that have like, they sell suits and stuff. Right. They go, hey, we'll dress you up. We'll you go to a job interview, we'll lend you a tie or we'll lend you a
recently
suit.
Recently, there was a company that was lending suits for free to people who
for job interviews.
I can't remember which company it was.
But I think it was for people who are more misfortunate or trying to get off the ground. And I'm like, yeah, because they go, well, what does it bring? It was maybe it gives you the confidence to feel good about yourself. And so I'm going to go and you know, put my best foot forward.
And chances that if the person do well and just go forward in life, you have a forever customer as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that it's a win-win. You know, well, for me as a fan, I don't own a watch company, but I think it just getting people to watches, I think that's great. So what do watches say about you? How do you guys... care about what watches you? Well, obviously, it's a stupid question. You guys care about watches?
I don't care about watches at all.
I do not.
You do not. But there's something you said particularly a few months back when we were talking about collecting or whatever, we were discussing it. And even on the podcast, you said, I don't really have a space in your rotation for dress watches. And that's because you're a homeless person.
And he doesn't have any space.
Fat piece of
it's just because I don't get invited to those social events that will require a dress
watch. But maybe if you wore a dress watch, you would get invited.
No, well, I do. I do have one that used to be yours. It's a Frédéric Constant Classic white dial.
Did you put it up for sale yet?
Oh man, didn't have time. Like I have like a pile of things to do at home. It was like. I'll do it.
He just said he had breakfast in bed.
He just woke up at 11 o'clock, right?
I had breakfast in bed.
I woke up at 11 o'clock. I have no time.
Well, this day is over. Next week it is.
I think when I was starting in my watch enthusiasm, starting to look into watches, different stuff, I did appreciate a lot of dress watches. It was a bit more maybe sometimes simple. It may be easier to grasp the concept around those dress watches, right? And just... my taste changed so much. I didn't like divers at all when I started, and now I own a Pelagos, and like I would like a Submariner.
He's talking about watches, guys, not the actual divers. Yeah, he's like, I hate divers. Yeah. Stupid, pretentious bastards.
Can you just swim on the surface? Exactly. Like everybody else.
You think you're better than me?
Well, yeah, swimming, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, yeah.
Sorry. Damn.
We would just take tangents and
I'll cut it out. I'll remove your two mics. There's gonna be a huge gap there. So yeah, I'm not big into dress watches anymore, but my last two interviews I was wearing it. It was like the only reason I was wearing the dress watch, right? And even the last interview was on a Zoom call and I was wearing my Carl F. Booker, but like there's no, and at no point you kind of casually swing your arm in front of the webcam.
Right.
So yeah, I don't think dress watches are for me. They are for a lot of people, and I cannot understand why people would want those for interviews.
It's a bit you more can't understand.
I can.
Oh, you can't. Okay.
It's a bit more subdued. It's a bit more classy. Right. If you're wearing a suit, it goes with a suit literally. So I could.
Plus, you have a Rolex, so you're like, fuck you, I don't care about anything. You could literally take the bracelet off that and put it on a leather strap, and you're fine. You're good to go with anything, right? Unless it's black tux, probably. That's like, but I don't see myself getting invited.
We already talked about
I'm not getting invited back to the...
If I paid for the tux, I'm going to wear any watches.
As long as it's worth more than the tux,
if you have a tux, you can
But I'm not getting invited back to Bucky after what happened last time. They're not inviting me back, right?
So it's like there's like your face and like a cross against it, like no Kevin now.
I was wearing what, a G-Shock? That's what I was wearing, right? At Buckingham Palace? And I was stealing shit. They're not inviting me back.
And your tux was painted on you.
Yes.
only the blazer.
It was a t-shirt tuxedo that the rest of my painted black.
It was a t-shirt tuxedo that itself was painted on. It's like you got incepted by clothes.
That's right. So what do you think your watch collection says about you? And when you have job interviews, like tell us about that a little bit, Carl.
What my watch collection says about me?
Sure. Yeah. What do you like? What does your like? If you go, oh, as you could see, my collection is very rounded as towards this.
Yeah.
And I think that represents me because of this. And go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll go with the like my plan to sell everything and just keep three.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. When it's
been
time,
months,
though,
but like it's still in the making. So I'll only have the Air King, the Pelagos, and my Carl F. Booker, the classic watch. Hopefully at some point a GMT from Grand Seiko. That's a plan at least. I think what it says about me is I only buy what I like. I don't
me. Thank you.
That's no, 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 no. But
start. I buy everything I hate.
If I hate it enough, I buy it.
I buy it. If I love it, bleh, no.
Okay, so let me rephrase that then. I don't buy it if it's because it's useful. I just buy it because it's like giving me something I want, right? Mm-hmm. So people are going to buy a car for X, Y reason because family and stuff. I don't give a shit. I'm going to buy the sports car if I want the sports car, even if it's not useful for me in any other way. I bought a diver. Like, it's a big one too. It's a Pelagos, right? It's thick. It's large. It's crazy blue.
How thick is it? Do you know roughly? No.
No.
It's a chunker?
No.
Because I felt like it's pretty subdued. Yeah. It's not. Anyways.
You know, I feel that thing would look bigger, even though it's not, if it were not titanium. If that makes sense.
Because of the finish?
Because of the weight.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It would feel more of a chunker. And I think that you can get away when you have bigger watches. If they weigh nothing, you go, oh, this is good. But they're actually big, right? Mm. Grand Seiko does that. But anyway, that yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
It's 14.3.
Yeah.
It's okay.
42 millimeter, right?
For what, the 500 meter water resistance, it's okay. It's not that much. The chronographs are thicker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the new ones are the same thing. They're that thin.
Yeah, so I just purchased that watch because I want it. It's super blue. It's kind of big. It's not the biggest, but it's not small either, right? It won't wear the suit, I guess, but I will.
Right.
Right? So it's same thing with the Rolex, right? Some people are going to buy Rolex just because of the brand. What does it mean? Me, it was like, I really love the fact that it's a bunch of fives, the like green logo, the yellow crown logo, not the crown itself on the watch. It's a bit different as well, like in the Rolex lineup. They don't really have, like, it's Explorer-ish.
Yeah.
But all those numbers, it's like, for some people, hate it because of it.
So let me tell you what I think those three watches say about you based on what I know about you.
Yeah. Like, you're an asshole.
Well, let's start with the first thing. The Rolex, I think that what sold you on it, yeah, you've seen Rolexes, you held them, you go, this is really great. But the little thing about you is that you're a little bit like, you're against the grain. You don't like to go, you're not a conformist. You like to go with like what people don't go with. What you like about that one is I think it's the link of the SSC Bloodhound. You like the fact that it had that SSC Bloodhound. It's unique. It has a link to driving, racing. And it's substantial enough. And then I'll get to the Pelagos where you're a larger dude. You're not a small wrist, skinny dude. You'll need something that feels quality on your wrist. The Pelagos, you also go against the grain. It's not your typical diver. It's your functional. And you said that before. It's not like every other diver. It's functional.
Yeah.
And the car of Bukater, obviously, you guys share the same slutty name that just spelled differently. That's what you
love for John Wick.
Exactly. Yeah.
The
but that was it. It was with John Wick. So I don't know. It's either your desire to be like Keanu Reeves or...
people up because I have a dog.
Exactly.
The Calibreker was just like a bunch of things aligned, and I was looking for a vintage. I was in my head, right. It was the next purchase, right?
But
like everything aligned, I was like, oh, damn it.
I started looking a bit into a Calibreker after you purchased yours, and like the brand grew on me quite a bit. I didn't know much enough about it, but it's a privately owned company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Family owned company, and like what they have is fantastic. Like the chronograph that we were looking at live, right? Before pandemic started. Mm-hmm. That kind of looks like an Alangan Zona.
Yeah. It's called the...
It looks amazing.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It looks... The it's brow called the
Monero.
Awesome. Yeah, Monero, exactly.
The Monero, that's what it was, yeah. Which is a nice one.
So, yeah.
No, that's very interesting. Yeah, the... Is it the Monero? No, it's not the Monero.
I think it is
that's
Monero.
That's the one you picked in your things. I don't think it's the... Oh, it's the Monero Flyback?
It's definitely... I think it's the yes, Monero it Chronograph.
The Monero Flyback.
Monero Flyback, yeah.
Very nice, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, Carliff Bookerer.
Best name ever.
So we talk about family. We should always start trying to say like Vin Diesel, family. Like he does all the stupid movies there.
Heard.
Fast 9 this summer.
Ugh. Oh, yes. God. Yeah, but now you see the... There's new, this big basketball player. There's the...
They're all big.
Yeah.
You don't make it more
specific. The MVP there, the Antetokounmpo, right? And him and his three brothers play in the league, and now there's commercials for Fast and Furious talking about family. I know I sound like Batman, but that's what Vin Diesel sounds like to me.
Family. Did you guys see this?
Where's your family?
When it's like in the SNL sketch, it's like the forest animals, they gang up on the hunters.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're herd.
Yeah, we're herd.
A good question talking about the Rock. Fast and the Furious.
And you know, Bambi, motherfucker.
Yeah, Bambi the Rock.
Do you have any other movie franchises that started kind of like normal-ish. Like, if you look at the first movie, maybe the two first one, they're like, you know, regular criminals driving right, cars driving fast.
Now it's like over the
now
top.
Now they're like fighting dinosaurs.
Now they're going in space.
Yeah, yeah.
The submarines.
Do you know like any other movie franchise
wait,
that went like...
they're going to space?
You didn't see the trailer, eh?
No. Oh my God.
The last one, they had a fucking iceberg, right? Or they come out of the
no,
ice?
No, there's a submarine that was emerging from under the ice.
Yeah, and they're dripping.
Like, they're driving Lamborghinis. It was insane.
We were like, oh, they're going to go to space next week. There's going to be dinosaurs. I'm like, they're going to go to... There's going to be dinosaurs involved. They're going to be in the next Jurassic Park.
Well, they have to go back
family.
In time.
Tyrannosaurus, welcome to the family.
So, yeah. Do you have any other movie franchise that went like nuts like this?
Like parkour?
But like, at least like...
Saw got pretty fucked up.
I have never watched anything but the first one.
The first one was excellent, but then the rest, I stopped watching after
the second one. The new ones is most like, what's it called, torture porn?
Yeah.
Where they just like to like kind of enjoy the moment of showing people dying like in horrible ways.
Who doesn't?
Which is really...
Lively.
Over breakfast, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I don't like those kind of movies. So yeah.
You watch porn on the daily. That's how you like your porn, you know?
Well, nobody's dying in there. In fact, they feel the most alive they can ever be.
So,
torture
you,
board.
You, Kevin, your collection, besides saying that you have a real big problem, what does it say?
What does your collection
you?
Say about you? Yeah.
I like.
Do we have time for him to describe what his collection says about him?
If I were to reduce it, because you talked about what you
reduce
would reduce
it to, what,
it to
400?
To 8.
100.
8 to 12. I would say three boxes of
which
shit.
Ones would you keep?
That represents like
you
what?
Had 8.
Huh?
That represent like 12 watches represent like what? 5% of your whole collection?
Don't try to confuse me with math and numbers.
Yeah, it's offensive.
Stupid math.
It makes me angry. I don't understand it. And it's
I know the
really
answer
angry.
Clearly, but I'm not going to answer it. Stupid math. Yeah, I can do math in my head. Just don't ask me the answer. Okay, so let me see. If I had the 8 to keep,
which
what
one
do
would
they
you
say?
Keep?
So let's start the first one.
Side note, Kevin is like pulling an Excel file about all the watches he has.
CRM.
So the first one I would have to keep is my Nomos Tangente. I have to. That would be the one that absolutely will never leave my collection.
You're bound by contractual
kind of
agreement.
A wedding watch, right?
Oh, yes.
But I love that watch. I love what it represents as a brand as well. And here's why. Because you take all these brands that have been around for such a long time, like Rolex and, all of them. All of them. No.
You know, yeah. Take some brands, Rolex and all the others.
But wait, no, sorry. Fine, then let me take it the other way around. If you look at brands that came to be not too long ago, Nomos is one of those that was able, I guess, to break through, have serious watch cred, do really nice pieces, and they came out in the 90s. And they're still around, they're doing really great stuff. I like that. And if I'm of age where part of that, and maybe 50 years from now, I'm like, yeah, when Nomos came out, and it's like, this is a piece that was one of their original movements, original pieces before the Alpha Swing came out in their movements. I really like that. That's the first, the one that I wouldn't sell. My Panerai, I'd like to keep it. I think, and there you go, it's more emotional. It's my personal affinity for that watch, what that watch meant to me as one of my larger purchases, first larger purchases, why I went with that Panerai. The first in-house movement that they had that was a 3-day movement, manual wind. Like I love that watch. And those are the only two that I really have a connection that I'll keep that like I'll never sell. Maybe my Seiko Pogue.
Right.
That one that I really took time to find.
What about your birth watch?
My birth watch, yeah. Probably I'll keep that, yeah. And you imagine that birth watch, it means so much to me. I paid like $500 for that watch. I had it serviced for another $200, but then that's it. 1964, 6309. It's just a perfect Seiko diver. And I love that watch. And they're not really expensive. Not some of them. They don't. Even my Seiko Pogue was $800.
Monaco and the Milgauss.
They could be sold one day.
Yeah.
I love those watches. Like they're like grails. Or they're like, oh man, I really always wanted this watch in my collection.
The day that the Milgauss is discontinued. That's what he's waiting for.
But imagine that blue one when they don't make it anymore and then people obviously want it. It's like that, the last Oyster Perpetual Rolex. They had this like anthracite gray one that had like blue markings. Do you remember?
No.
It was, let me hold on. Rolex OP39 anthracite perpetual gray.
Quick question about anthracite. I was looking at that color earlier.
This one. Do you guys remember this watch that came out in the last generation?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a regular $6,000 watch. Just watch now because they're like, oh no, I should have gotten it. Or the gray one, the grape one that was in the last gen. Man, they're selling now.
People want yeah. that watch now. They can't
I,
have
I
it.
I think the G is silent in grape.
Oh, Jesus. And that's why you go to jail.
Well, I mean, there are other
reasons.
That's
why you're never asked for be a witness. He answers every question with a question. Where were you on that night? Where were you on that night?
Why does that matter?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know. You tell me. So, the role, yeah, it's going to go. But like, I love that Rolex. It's great. Great my experience. But if the perfect watch came along that I really wanted, I would go for that. I would sell my Monaco, sell the even my Panerai at one point. But I really think that I don't. I'm not saying I'm a constant flipper, but there's nothing that really holds me. Like, I absolutely need that watch. And believe it or not, the ones I would actually keep are more of the pieces I can't find anymore. The watches that I really love. That yeah.
Would you like later down the road like upgrade like your Panerai for like a Big Pilot? Is that a movie you would do?
The Big Pilot 43. Yeah, hell yeah.
43 or the regular
any big pilot.
Any big pilot, yeah.
Onion
yeah.
crown for onion crown, you know.
That 43 now with the bracelet is so good.
Yeah, I agree. I probably would prefer it with the leather.
Yeah, we get the leather after. I get both. Fuck it.
Yeah,
just get both.
Yeah.
What's the next? It's like $500 more. You're like,
yes.
Kids, at 30, this point, 10,000. Really at 10,000 bucks, like, yeah, whatever. Matter, yeah. Just put it in there. Hell yeah, but anyway, yep. No. What it says, I think it's just because I have so many of it. One point is just there's no connection to a point where I absolutely. So yeah, to me, watches the any of them can be sold. And I think that's what I've done with my collection. That's there. There's no connection where I'm like I absolutely can't get rid of these watches, except for a few. And I've had fun collecting and learning along the way. And no watch is not flippable, so to speak.
So cool. My question was, what does it? Like the collection tells about you, anyone. Like,
I have something.
I'm not going to sell everything. It's like, okay, so you have
I'm
a problem.
Not that's everything. About everything. You. My shirt.
You can't make me. I'm not going to sell. Okay, we didn't ask you if you were going to sell anything.
I think the only
I can
thing.
Stop whatever I want.
Exactly. Don't tell me what to do.
That's what I do. I don't have a problem.
I don't have to respond to you.
You're wearing four watches. I don't have a problem. But
it's because you don't see the fifth one.
Exactly. But ultimately, no. It's just I think I have a watch for everything there, if you want to say. And I really like watches. That's what it says about me. There's a story behind them. It's more interesting for me. That's fun.
Okay, so you have a problem.
What about you, Dimitri?
Well, my watches, I need to buy more watches to be able to have eight watches.
So can we like what your watch collection represent about you? We put a blank there and I post-prod like the USSR like anthem there. And that's your answer.
Sure. USSR item?
Anthem.
Anthem, okay.
Anthem.
But yeah, you have your Speedmaster. You have now your new Seiko. That you need a Seiko in your collection. You said that last week, I think.
Yeah, but I really missed not having a Seiko, and I feel like so far it's been a week. This is gonna be a Seiko that I'm probably gonna keep for a very long time unless I get a Submariner.
There you go.
Like this is for me a perfect diver. I don't. I've compared to a bunch of other divers in a similar price segment, even maybe a bit more expensive, and. This was still the choice I decided to go with. But I would definitely, if I get a Submariner, for sure Submariner would replace that watch, right? Like I would always wear that in my wrist instead.
So what do you think your collection right now that you have says about you?
I'm an asshole.
Yeah. How many Russian watches now? Two? Three?
I have two Russian watches.
Yeah. And one that died and came back. And the other one that you...
So...
Give you like kind of ish, like times and cities maybe.
In terms of selling watches, let's say, like I would not get rid of the Vostok that I have just because it's a very inexpensive watch. It's not worth selling it.
No profit and to be made.
Even a small story, you know, this one specifically makes it already unique enough that I want to kind of keep it just for that story alone.
Yeah.
The Speedmaster is never going to be sold for sure. This is a forever watch.
Yeah.
100%. And I think I totally hit the jackpot on it with it because I was already like a watch enthusiast for, let's say, a year and a half, 2 years probably before purchasing it. So like I was well, my choices, let's say the things, not the choices, but let's say the types of watches that I like have not really changed since that moment. And that was 2 years ago, right? Because it's early at the beginning where your watch enthusiasm develops quickly, your preferences very quickly change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This has never changed. Like I would,
yeah.
I'm actually like, I'm crushing over the new Speedmaster that just came out.
Right.
And the bracelet is amazing. And I like the fact that they replaced the movement, even though it's less original, but it's awesome that it's Meta certified now too.
Mm.
So
I feel that your collection, if we go with like your first purchases to like what you have right now, is you're trying to find your groove and now you have it.
Well, kind of like if I had to, yeah, exactly. I'll jump in there for a second. I feel like the Orient buying that showed, he's like, oh, I did this to see if I would like more of a Bauhaus and what people liked and what was affordable. And, oh, I like things that are maybe a little bit more in quality. And then, oh, I really like the story and the history behind the Speedmaster, the Moonwatch, and everything that comes behind it. And the more that you're learning, the more he likes it. Oh, I like that Vacheron Constantin, historique américaine. I love the Geneva Strip. Like, why? All of that kind of builds into it. So that's what just collection shows and his evolution of collection, like you just said. Exactly. Yeah. Not the pieces he only owns, what he has owned says a lot. Why I want a Seiko in my collection, he says. Why?
Why do I want to have a Seiko in my collection?
Why Seiko so important to you?
Because...
No, but it's true. Why is it so important to a watch
company? I consider Seiko to be one of the greatest watch companies ever.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, like they do have a lot of offerings and they do have a lot of copies. But it still, in my mind, doesn't take away from like what they represent and how much of an important watch company they are in the watch world, let's say.
And if this is the first time you're listening to our episode, guys, we had an episode 27 all about Seiko. So check it out.
I love Seiko. And Seiko is affordable enough that it's not really difficult for anybody to own a Seiko, a good Seiko in their collection, right?
Yeah, it's affordable, high quality.
Yeah, they do have
besides chapter rings.
They do have some misses, like the bracelet game is terrible. I don't understand why they want to up their bracelets for like multiple $1,000 watches, right? Mm. They could do better, right? And the chapter ring thing is also kind of ridiculous. That it's funny.
It's part of the charm.
Well, not really. I don't know. I guess that's how you look at it, but it's a lack of quality control, really. That's what it is.
So maybe if I could summarize just, and maybe this is for everyone out there that's a watch enthusiast, obviously if you're listening to this podcast, I think what our collections say about us, one thing is that it's, and I think you said it, the first comment was what we like. It's not, if anyone who didn't know watches looked at our collection, they're not particularly flashy. They're not particularly,
they're
oh my God.
Judge us so much.
Yeah. So talking about that though, what about job interview? Well, Dimitri, you're going to say something. Sorry.
The other thing I was going to add is specifically about my collection, and this applies to, let's say, other things that I own, not necessarily watches, right? I like the no-nonsense, so I don't like things that are modified.
This is solid logic right there, eh?
Look, you're a pretty good active listener.
Boom!
Boom!
What I mean by that is that when I purchased my Speedmaster, like you like to joke, by the way, we haven't mentioned somebody else so far in this episode.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Wait till we get to the job interviews.
Okay. Really? Is that one of the interviews that you...
It's who I'm interviewing with.
Well, if you apply for a job at Universal Geneva and you're a young guy, right? What would you do?
Exactly.
Probably design something cool that...
You start sucking
God damn!
That was my second choice. It's funny how I don't really have a third choice. I have do something cool or start sucking
God damn!
That one of those two will for sure land you the
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
It's how you play your cards.
What the...
So, anyway, keep going, what I was going to say is that another thing about my collection in general and how I pick the things that I like is I like the no-nonsense things, and I'll elaborate a bit. Like the Speedmaster that I purchased, I bought the Hessellite, the most basic one, not because I couldn't afford, let's say, a different type of a Speedmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I specifically wanted the most true-to-form historically, well, as historically correct as possible mm-hmm. to the one that was used in the moon landings. Right? Same for my G-Shock. The first ever G-Shock that I purchased was the most basic standard G-Shock from the 80s, right? The G5600.
Yeah.
Like, this is the one that started it all, right? I wanted that specific one. I didn't want a variation of a different color, just the classic one. I don't want like a blacked out screen or just the most classic. So, exactly the same for the Seiko SPB-143. It's a reincarnation or recreation of the 62 mass version. It's a little bit different, you know, like the markings are slightly different, the hands are a little bit different shaped, right? But it has that same no bullshit classic diver watch design style. That's what I
from the 62 miles, like. Yeah,
exactly. So I feel like there's a bit more of a historical influence when I purchase watches, right?
So, but what are you wearing to a job interview? And so what do you think it tells about you? Why would you wear that specific watch to a job interview?
So let's say a job interview, right? It depends on the job interview. Let's say like if you go for a, let's say an office job, a junior office job, I would say, you shouldn't wear anything flashier than maybe potentially the person who's interviewing you.
Right.
Right? Because it's like wear something, 90% of people don't even know anything about watches, right?
But it could just give you the wrong idea to the interviewer, right? If you're junior position and you're coming in with like a
Richard
Rolex,
Mille,
Richard Mille, right?
That's like, ridiculous.
Hey, is it fake?
I had a note here. Like, it depends on the interview. Like, if you're applying for a McDonald's janitor position, don't wear a Rolex. It just makes no sense. They should call like a mental institution. Say like, what's wrong with this guy? He doesn't need this job, right? Why is he applied to make minimum wage?
Definitely, he's on that TV show Undercover Boss for sure. He's the undercover boss.
Yeah, he's the undercover boss.
He's wearing a Rolex and kind of a fake mustache.
Like,
a bit it.
And if you wear a Rolex specifically, right? You could also. I feel like a Rolex could be a bit of a dangerous player, let's say, because Rolex is one of those watches that's recognizable outside of the watch community. People know what a Rolex Submariner is. They will know a Rolex when they see one, right? Even if they don't know anything about watches.
Yeah. Right.
So that might be a little bit of a dangerous thing, especially if you're like a 20-something fresh professional.
Don't look at me when you say
that. So I'm gonna give a scenario and we'll all go around. If you're applying for pretty much the same position you have now in another company, what watch are you wearing to that job interview?
At this point,
and why?
It really doesn't matter. So, because it's not a company that really has watch enthusiasts.
What about our listeners? No, my company culture. I don't care what they think.
At that point, I would wear anything I like.
Okay.
Probably going to stay away from something like a Richard Mille just because it's a very flashy thing. It's going to take away attention from you and yourself to the watch, right?
Right.
Like, I would probably, let's say, avoid anything that's just shiny and brightly colored. That's not peacocking, right?
Yeah, I think I would wear something that if the subject of the watch came on the interview for a reason or another, it's easy to talk about it and for people to understand it.
Right.
So, for example, let's say you know, sometimes they will ask you like, oh, what's personal on a more personal side? What do you do like as a hobby or stuff like that? Right. They try to maybe understand you maybe more as a person.
Grow weed. Or did I say it out loud?
I consume a lot of meth. Aficionado.
Underground Fight Club.
Exactly.
But don't talk about it.
Shit, should be talking about. Oh my god.
Yeah. Cockfights.
So let's say you can say that you're a watch collector, watch enthusiast, right? Or you even have a podcast. You just don't say the name of the podcast because he's like, get out.
Exactly.
And it could be easy to talk about it, right? For example, if I think about my Carl F. Booker, it's easy for people to understand that's an older watch. That's why you can
because you're obsessed with Keanu Reeves.
Who is it?
He's so dreamy.
He is.
Who?
Keanu Reeves, of course. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Like, come here. Kiss me on the mouth. Put on my underwear.
What?
Come here, you.
What?
It's fine. Do you want me to call you Keanu or John? It's not fine.
It's not fine. None of this is fine.
None of this is fine.
What the
Come here, you handsome bastard.
What just happened?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think a watch could be easy to talk about and or leverage in as an hobby or something like that if it came into your interview, right? I had interviews that people ask me more on my personal side of things, I was doing.
I tend to, in certain meetings and whatnot, I'll actually say I'm like, just a little something about myself. I go, I'm really into watches. And I do that. I go, if ever someone's in, like in big meetings, I'm like, because I do level ups, right? So my directors, the people who report to them, I'll ask, hey, if ever you, we do level up meetings, I'm like, I'm being into watches. Like, if everyone need to chat with me about something, blah, blah, blah. Or you just want to chat about watches, you know, my door's always open. No one has come to talk to me about watches.
when you said that, they all go yuck.
Yeah.
But but the idea is the first thing is that what I always consider is one, it needs to fit under my shirt cuff. That's the first thing. I want it to fit under
just
my shirt
bigger
cuff.
Shirts. What do you need cuffs? Just gotta get the sleeveless ones.
Exactly. And you don't get the job. The other one is that I put on a watch, to be honest, that'll make me also feel put together. I like to feel good when I'm wearing the watch that I'm wearing. And that's important to me. So like you said, the one that I feel like wearing, that's something I would do as well.
But
and also, I'd like one that's subtle. I don't want it. If someone asks me, he goes, hey, that's an interesting watch. What are you wearing?
What's that watch on your leg? Oh, that's a big pilot. Thank you for asking.
Interesting thing about that watch is, no, but I like something also a little bit subtle, maybe less flashy. Maybe I did because I don't want it to be, I want it to complement what I'm wearing, but I don't want it to be what,
right.
Yeah, the center.
Subtle, I think, is a very good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Because again,
understated,
like,
you know?
You don't want to have the watch to be the center of attention, right? You want to make sure that it's, they're focusing on you talking about that potential job. Exactly. That you're interviewing for.
And we're back.
So yeah, I agree that the watch that you wear at the interview should be subtle enough that it doesn't become the center of attention, mm-hmm. right? And the cuff thing for sure is something that I also agree with quite a bit because it's...
Besides if like you interview for a watch company, maybe...
that's not the same thing.
But see, but that's an interesting point because that depends on the job you're interviewing for, right? Like... If you're interviewing for a watch company, I think it'll be very important for you to wear like a very unique, enthusiast watch piece.
And
right?
There you go. I wouldn't wear my most expensive watch. I'd wear the watch the people most go, interesting. Oh.
Something like a snowflake, right? Like something that's like, something that says you're a hardcore watch enthusiast.
Yeah, exactly.
Not something that's expensive, exactly. It doesn't have to be expensive at all. Like it could be cheap, but it could be like a vintage Seiko that's like super limited edition from the 60s, right?
Yeah.
Like that would be what you should wear for that specific
That would show that you... You know your stuff, not that you're rich.
Right, exactly.
Or that you're into it.
That you're a watch enthusiast.
Yeah.
Right. It's not something that you would buy if you're not. So
talking about like specific interviews, do you guys have any notes like on specific job watches combination?
Me, I also want to say one last thing. The reason why it's subtle. If I was interviewing someone, it'd be a big distraction to me depending on the watch. I'm always like, what are you? And I interviewed...
Judging them so much.
Let's talk about your Hublot Big Bang.
I was selected to go interview the president in Toronto. They literally flew me out to go interview him. I was telling you guys this, right? And he's wearing... It was really... It got dark real fast because I go, oh! we're waiting for the cameras to go. I go, that's a very nice... I'm wearing a Baume & Mercier Capelin. He goes, oh, I don't know what the watch is... He knew it was a Baume & Mercier because I didn't know it was a Capelin. He goes, I bought it after my like father died or something. I was like, wow, I'm so sorry.
Wow, great story, Mark.
Great watch, though. But it was really nice. But it meant something to him. It was a very nice chronograph. And
he wasn't a watch enthusiast?
And if you were...
Your mark there?
No.
If you were interviewing somebody, by the way. If you were interviewing somebody, would you judge them based on what watch they're wearing?
I wouldn't. No.
No? But what if they...
I find out they're wearing a fake... I'd rather than they own it. I'd rather them wearing a $50 time. If they're wearing a fake watch, I...
But doesn't something about the person's personality, depending on the watch?
I don't know if I'm legally allowed to say I would judge them or not give the job, but like if totally I... Would. Between I the totally lines... Would. Oh, yeah, I totally So between the lines, you're never getting the job.
Yeah, let's...
What does it say?
Let this be not on the record. I would judge you.
why is that on your dial? Rolex is in quotation mark.
But you know...
it says Brolex. It's Rolex with a KS instead of an X.
What, excuse me, because I'm filling out the paperwork and he's interviewing. He's like, what day is it? It goes the 32nd? There's the door. Thanks for coming.
Right. Yeah.
We do not validate parking. Don't even ask. No, I'm just kidding.
But not really.
But you know, I'll do it the other way. If I saw someone, there was a guy who I was working with, and he came to me. He goes, hey, he goes, so you're into watches? I go, yeah. How'd you know? He goes, you're wearing a Nomos. I go, yeah. And that right away, then he went up
Best
a notch.
Buddy.
He went a notch up immediately. Yeah. But that's all.
And this is a fantastic point of conversation too, right? Like if you hit the spot with the person, they could help your interview in general. If the person interviewing you is a watch fan, and if they see you wear like a cool enthusiast piece, and if you're able to answer questions, like if they say, hey, like let's say you have a Speedmaster, and I'll be able to tell like the whole story of the Speedmaster, that shows that you're serious about the things that you purchase.
Yeah. Earlier this year, I changed department within my company, right? And I think I told you like the first meeting was my introduction to the team. Like we talked about watches because I do this. I love watches. And one thing was like, you love watches? I was like, yeah. He sent me like 5 pictures. Like you just bought a Black Bay, a bunch of things. Like I'm looking for an Explorer. And for like an hour after that, we're talked about watches.
The worst question you can get, and this is how you know someone's into watches. I mean, I've told people, I go, oh, I'm really into watches. And if they ask you, you get this a lot. The first question I ask, well, how many watches do you own? If they ask you that, they don't know what they don't know what watch collecting is.
That's
about.
Not the right question, though.
It shows they don't know anything about the
gym,
hobby,
bro. Like how much do you live? How much do you pinch?
Exactly.
They don't know beer cans,
but they don't know how many. They don't know about the hobby. When I hear that question, I'm like, it's not about...
Exactly.
Never.
It's not the size.
I'll never ask that.
It's not the size. It's how you use it.
What's the first question you ask if someone says they're into watches? What's the first question you ask?
If someone
goes, oh, I'm really into watches, what's the first question you ask them?
I'll probably ask him for like maybe his favorite pieces.
Similar. Do you own any interesting piece? And he's like, oh, not really. I just really love.
It's not a trick question. I'm just asking.
No, like they go like maybe sometimes
did I pass?
sometimes
jobs. This wasn't an interview. Okay, but I got the job, right?
You're wearing a nice watch, but you're not wearing pants. It's got to be a no. I'm sorry.
Like your penis is out.
I love the watch. Really great watch. Thank you for the story about the Speedmaster, Dimitri.
Please don't sit on our chairs with your butt-ass naked.
I'm going to have to say no. No, my first question is probably, I would be like, what are you wearing these days? Or what are you into these days? That's what I ask and say, and then hear what they talk about.
Yeah, I agree. It's a excellent conversation starter for somebody who also is a watch enthusiast.
So as we keep going along, we're talking about job interviews. You were talking about jobs, Carl. You had set us up with some jobs you would wear, specific watches. So why don't you go run us through that?
So I have like three, but two really, because I,
of course,
misprepared as always.
Misprepared,
underprepared,
Mr. Prepared. You think you're Mr. Prepared? Misprepared is not a title that you win.
I love his terms. He's some great words.
Misprepared
here.
2020.
Zip it up. In weird terms, you know. Let's just chug it in. Like what?
So with my job, I had the chance to talk with some engineers in the car industry. And for some reason, if you're an engineer and you're like working with the car industry, they all have Zin.
Really?
All of them. And I was like, at first I was like, man.
What car industry are they in?
They're all German. Drive-through. We were talking about it last time.
I work with cars. I'm in the food and beverage industry.
Please proceed to cash two. Would you like to supersize your milkshake? Car industry. It's mostly a customer service industry, but also a few cars. Carl is really enjoying our humor today.
So yeah, but they're all German.
Okay, there was like Mercedes-Benz and like BMW and Porsche, but still, right? So I had the chance to talk with engineer from Mercedes-Benz. And some of them from BMW as well. And both of those brands were, like, I have like six or seven engineers. They're all wearing Zin.
And what kind of Zin?
Yeah.
104, 105.
Me a
that's goddamn. So I remember 104, 105s. They're like the like aviator / like the normal Zin.
We all know the Zin 104,
in my head, I was like, okay, I've seen like, it's for me, it's anecdotal, right? I've seen a couple, like five or six. And in a podcast I was listening to, and they were talking about meeting the engineers of Porsche. And it was like, they're car journalists, but they're also watch enthusiasts. And they go like, why the fuck do they all wear Zin? In the podcast, it was like, it was like a cocktail, right? So a bunch of people from that company, they were all wearing the same thing, like the same brand. And they're like, that's an engineer watch for some reason. Everyone's going with it. So,
well, they're very they're instrument watches.
Yeah, but I think the 104 being an instrument watch, being really easy to read and all those things, still is not too thick. Like 11.9 millimeters thick, right? Yeah. So, you can fit it under a cuff.
So, which
like,
one you go with? Is Zin 104?
That's what I've seen a lot for an engineering position. Like,
okay.
By the way, this is another watch that I was considering as an alternative to the SPB 143.
Yeah.
And SPB 143 won against everybody, honestly. Yeah. Just because the in-house movement and the
Sorry, which watch were you considering? Sorry.
The 104.
Oh, the Zin 104, yeah.
104, yeah.
The A or the one with the letters?
Just the markings.
Just the markings, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I don't remember what it's called.
SAI?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Right?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, the SA, yeah.
And I don't like Arabic. I'm not a big fan of the H-Link bracelet that they have, to be honest. I'll probably get it with the bracelet and get a like a NATO exactly. or leather strap. But
yeah. There's two bracelets, right?
You can oh, yeah, the there's another one. But it's over-engineered to me. It's like the same thing as the strap code style.
Yeah, I would go with leather. But yeah, for an engineering position, I guess if you have a Zen, wear it. It's, for some reason, loved by engineers.
Yeah.
When German car brands.
I thought you were telling me before that they also have Tagore.
Car salesman.
Oh, salesman.
Salesman. They all have tags.
Car salesman.
They all have tags for some reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's not only like with German cars. I've seen like Toyota salesmen with tag overs, and that's a salesman watch for some reason.
Interesting.
And the other thing I had, like...
well marketed brand too. Like... one thing I was going to say is I feel like it's just a very well-marketed brand.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Rolex. Like Tagore is everywhere, especially in the 90s, early 2000s.
Had his Roman. Yeah, it's really, really big.
I don't know if it says a lot about somebody being a watch enthusiast if you own a Tagore, like a unique piece Tagore. Like anything that's an Oyer itself, not the Tagore, that would be cool, right? If you get a Ottavia or you get the Monaco.
I still can get around that Oyer is a last name.
It's a guy's last name. Like most watch owners, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Like,
imagine there's like a watch.
What? Khalif Booker is a name?
Exactly. It's not an atomic element, right?
Khalif Booker.
So keep going. Your other
ones? Yeah. So job interview in tech. So it's not often that I'm going to suggest this, but...
Apple Watch.
I would say smartwatch.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't disagree with you.
I don't disagree.
And it kind of showed that you're... I don't know, tech savvy.
Kind of want to own an Apple Watch.
With the trends, right?
You're a geek. That's fine.
Yeah, you're a geek, right? The only thing I could suggest is if you're interviewing for Apple, don't wear your Samsung one.
Yeah.
Right? That could be.
That makes sense.
Right?
You know what? I probably would just to have this conversation piece.
You think? You think
maybe,
so?
Maybe. I don't know.
You don't think it will chew like you're not a team player?
If you're in your cybersecurity.
Well, yeah, maybe if you're in cybersecurity, you want to know the position. Right?
Yeah, the enemy. Or if they come and they say, oh, we're going to give you a free Apple Watch, and you're like, yeah, I'll wear it. But I know what you're saying. So you think watches do say a lot about you?
To the extent of that people, if they see it and they understand it, yes. Like maybe overall, they represent like 5% of your interview chances, process, right?
Yeah.
So yes, I think they do represent something. Like if you like go to an interview with like the most obnoxious piece that doesn't make any sense, I'll be probably like a minus for you, right?
True.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
And last thing, I was like sales position. Depending on the sales position, normally I think you want something that showed that you had success. So Rolex to some extent.
Yeah.
If you're a car salesman, a tag.
I wrote a little bit of a short list there. Like if you wear a Rolex Submariner and you go to a job interview.
Yeah.
If you have a person that comes to an interview and they wear a Rolex Submariner, you can't really tell what kind of the person that is because anybody could own a Rolex Submariner, right?
True.
Because it's a watch that
I can't
transcend. So
I try.
You could be a watch enthusiast because that's an ultimate classic piece. But you can also be like I wrote down here, like a spoiled child of a Russian oil tycoon.
God damn. For example, yes. Right? Okay. Yes.
You could be a finance bro.
The finance bro. Chad.
You could be Steve McQueen. It's unlikely because he's been dead for many years.
Yes.
But it's
still possible.
Maybe the other realms somewhere. You could also be a YouTube channel host.
That's true.
Or maybe a successful real estate agent.
Tycoon.
A real estate agent tycoon.
Oh my god!
Just adding tycoon to your job title. Would be cool.
But I know what you mean. Yeah, I know what you mean because
I'm a customer service agent tycoon.
Oh my god, that's good.
And you're car industry.
The mogul.
Yeah. The drive-through tycoon.
The drive-through mogul.
I'm a drive-through.
I'm a mogul.
Exactly. Drive-through sales.
I'm a tycoon mogul.
The sales mogul. Dude, you just answer phones, okay? just slow down.
That's a good point, though. Because I think if someone's wearing, for example, a Seiko Pogue, to give you an idea, right? It's an $800 watch.
The worst.
You know that the person's more of a...
If you show up to a job interview with a watch that has an orange dial, it kind of stands out a little bit. For somebody who doesn't know anything about watches, they'll be like,
What the fuck are you wearing?
What the fuck are you wearing?
Yeah. Don't forget.
Because they expect for you to wear like a Daniel Wellington, like Bauhaus, like no nonsense. Yeah.
Well, if you do that, you can always have like a lot of cologne. So like people that close their eyes, they don't really see the watch.
Just shit yourself, right? Hey, he's wearing Rolex Submariner, but he smells like shit. Right.
So watches do say a lot about you. I think that's the last thing. But no, but I think there's interesting situations and what we build our collections and what they say about you. I think that's always important. So let's unwind this bitch. So if you enjoyed this episode, please reach out to us on Big Black Clock Official on Instagram or email us at Big Black Clock Team. Send us pictures, corrections, ideas, insults. Let us know if there's any pieces you want us to review with, of course, the caveat that we can afford them. Always be good to each other. Eat good food. Have some drinks. And for all of those that are always watch shopping, happy hunting. So thanks for spending time with us. And see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.